In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This is one of the most beautiful Gospels, one of the most beautiful Sundays, not only in Lent, but throughout the entire year. As I saw someone yesterday, having come to church for so long, maybe months and months, and when I saw her, of course I welcomed her, but I said, "What are you doing here?" So she said, "It is the Samaritan Woman Sunday. How can I miss that? It is so beautiful Sunday. It has a special taste and a special touch for so many people, especially those who experienced the life of the Samaritan, being far away, and the acceptance of the Lord, and the love of the Lord that's offered in an amazing way, the gentleness of the Lord. I've never ever seen someone more gentle than that. Not a prophet, not even the most gentle person you've ever seen in your entire life wouldn't be as gentle as the Lord with this Samaritan woman at the well. Of course, in order to understand that, you have to take some background of how the Jews and how they looked at women back then, and the Jews and Samaritans. And that's a long story I don't want to get into, but we know that this is something really, really special. And this gospel shows a lot of character of the characters of God through the character of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Shows what's in his heart, what is his food, what is his drink, what he is thirsty for. And of course, he was thirsty for what? For the souls. He was willing to go through this long trip in order to approach this soul. It's very hard these days to find people thirsty for souls, for well-being of others, to attract and bring people to God. I've seen some evangelists and I've seen some missionaries who are really thirsty for souls, but no one is like the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is so thirsty. When he sat at the well, and he said, "Give me a drink." It wasn't the drink that he needed. It wasn't the food that the disciples brought that he didn't eat. But it was the souls. A soul of just a single person. If you can tell how thirsty the Lord is for my soul and your soul, you'll be shocked. You'll be amazed. You will live in wonder of that thirst that he has. It's the same word he said on the cross. "I thirst." And again, it wasn't for a drink, but it was for souls. So thirsty to attract as much as he can to him. Because he can't live without that. He's thirsty for that love. You know that the only thing that God cannot make and God cannot create is a heart that loves him. He wants that. And because he wanted that, he created us with a free will, because the love has to come from us. It has to be our choice. If God can make that, he would have. But it comes from us. You cannot force someone to love you. You can do whatever you can in order to attract him and to show your love, your gentleness, your generosity, whatever you can. But you cannot force, you cannot do anything for someone to love you. Same thing. God cannot push it on anyone. He can be as gentle as he can, and he can be as forgiving and as merciful and as awesome as he can be, but he cannot force anyone to love him. And he's thirsty for that love. He's thirsty for that love. And to tell you the truth, it wasn't only that the Lord was thirsty, but this woman also was thirsty. She was thirsty. She was thirsty for God and for his love. She was thirsty for something to fill her life that wasn't filled and fulfilled so far. But this woman got the most out of this situation, and she did really well. in that situation. The point here for us, for me and you, God has been gentle to us. God has been gracious. I tell you that most of the blessings that people receive, usually they receive these blessings when they're doing worst in their spiritual life. That God may show His generosity, His love, His unconditional love and acceptance. But a lot of times this love of God may be abused and misused. And people have abused the love of the Father, not understanding that Jesus loves the sinners, but He hates sin. He is thirsty for the Samaritan woman to come, but to come out of her sins, and not to come with her sins and take the sins with her. If God would love the sinner as He is with his sins and doesn't mind him having the sins, then God will be leading him to eternal death. Believe it or not. God is so good never to let anyone come to Him without leaving the sin first. He opens the invitation. I want you and I beg you. But you have to leave the garbage that you have. Why? Because it's going to destroy you. It's not good for you. It's against my nature. And it's not going to be good for you whatsoever. If God will accept me with my sin and says it's okay to have the sin and be with me, God is leading me to eternal death, and He's too good to do that. He is the one who loves sinners, and He's the lover of sinners and tax collectors and sinners, but He's the one who hates sin most. He even accepted the death of the cross in order to invite us, but pay the price of the sin and cleanse that sin and never accept it in our lives. That's why when the Samaritan woman asked Him, "What do I do? What do I need to do?" He said, "I perceive that you're a prophet." Wonderful. That's amazing. You know what? I'm actually thirsty for God. I want to know God. But what is the right way? How do I worship God? Because you Jews, you say that you have to worship in the temple in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans, we worship only on this mountain. Which one is right? What do I need to do? Do I need to go to Jerusalem in order to become a better person? Or do I need to stay in this mountain and worship to be a better person? What do I need to do? And that's the question that we usually ask. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I want to get closer. I'm thirsty actually for God. Actually, the book of Proverbs said that. That God had put the eternity in our hearts, that we are so thirsty for Him. Whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we see it or not, we have a thirst for God. Not only that He has a thirst for us. What do I need to do? And Jesus answered and said to her, "Not in this mountain, the hour will come, when people not in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, they will worship the Father." Why? Because the Father wants a different kind of worship. This worship didn't work out for you, and the worship in Jerusalem didn't work out for you. And you know what? All of us, we switch between the two, between the mountain of Gerizim and between the temple of Jerusalem. Try this, and we try that. And we swing between the two. Which one is right? Where do I need to go? How do I need to worship? How do I need to relate to God? And He said, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." You want to relate to me? You want to get closer? The worship, the relationship has to be in that form, in spirit and in truth. Some people lack the Spirit. Some people lack the truth. Some people lack both. And some people swing between both of them. That's what we want to talk about. What is the kind of your worship? How do you relate to God? What is your relationship with God? Is it in the spirit? Is it in truth? Is it both as it's supposed to be? Or it's neither of them? First, the worshiping in truth. What is worshiping in truth? Truth is what's true, not what is wrong. You want to come to me? You come to the truth, but you cannot bring the sin. You cannot bring what's wrong to me. You cannot bring the garbage, the trash with you to the altar and to the throne of grace. I can wipe this out, but you can't live with it. We have to take care of it. We have to get rid of it first. What Samaritans did in their worship, Samaritans actually, they were originally Jews. But what happened to them is they mixed their worship between God and idols. And instead of worshiping in the temple, which is the right way, because God wanted everyone to worship in the temple, they put some idols on the mountain of Gerizim, that mountain. And they started worshiping there. And they mixed between the worship of God and the worship of idols. And they said, it is okay to do that. Yeah, we know Jehovah, the God who got us out of Egypt, but we also know that there are good gods that we worship. They were not worshiping the true God. And some of us, believe it or not, knowing God and coming from godly inheritance, do not worship the true God or mix the worship between God and idols. That's when we decide to keep the sin. That's when we want to say, let's make my own religion. It is okay to pray to God. But it's okay also to have the mammon and the money as God. Yeah, I want to come to church and I want to participate. But I don't want to leave what I have. Can I have both? I'm not hurting anyone. If there is anyone who would be hurt, it's me. What's the problem? No. That's not worshiping the true God. That's why actually the prophets said, do not mix and do not talk to the Samaritans whatsoever. That's why Jews never spoke to Samaritans. Because they were not worshiping the true God. Why? Because they were sinners? No, sinners is actually better. Because sinners know that they don't know God and they're far away from God. But the problem of the Samaritans is they worshipped both and they thought that they are okay. Which is bad, which is wrong. Sometimes we make our own gospel. And to tell you the truth, sometimes we make our own God who accepts what I want to accept and who rejects what I reject, who takes interest in what I take interest in, and ignore what I ignore, which is not true. And Jesus is the truth. He said that. That's when I come to God and even take communion with no repentance whatsoever. Coming with the trash, not even recognizing that it is trash, coming to the throne of grace and coming to God saying, why don't you dwell here? I want you to be here. Not in this. The house must be cleansed first. And I'm willing to take your sin. I will carry the sin. And I will delete it for you. And I will pay the price for you. But you have to let go of this. The Lord said to the Samaritan woman, do you want me to give you the gift of God? Do you want the grace of God? Do you want the gift that I want to give you? Go call your husband first. Go call your sin first. Open up. Open the can of worms first before I give you the gift of God and the living water. You want to worship? You want to have a relationship? Let's open this. Let's open this first. As much as Jesus was gentle with her, as much as he did not just accept the situation as is. Sometimes you ask a question. Sometimes I myself ask a question when I feel someone is really struggling. And he knows that this is wrong. And he wants to keep it. He thinks that it's the best for him. Sometimes we always get convinced with the wrong that is true. But why not? Why not keeping that? Why not keeping the sin? You love the sinners. Why not the sin? Because he knows that the sin will destroy me no matter what. It's like telling the doctor, it's just a little piece of cancer. What's the deal? What's the big deal? Why don't you leave it there? No. I know that it's going to kill you. We have to get rid of this. We have to get this out of your system, out of your body. And sin is a cancer. Especially when I know that it is there. And I'm leaving it in order to spread more and more. He's too good to leave me live with a cancer in my body and in my system. How do I worship in truth? Everything that I do must be Christ focused, number one. Focus on the Lord Jesus, the true God, and also focused on repentance. Cleansed. Take advantage of the Lord who is taking in order to cleanse my sin. Jesus didn't come in order for me to live in sin. He came in order to get rid of the sin, to be mixed with Him, to be united with Him, with His holiness, with the character of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." ليه بالعربي إذا رأيت إثما في قلبي فالرب لا يستمع لي. If I regard sin in my heart, if I know that I have a sin and I'm okay with it, I have no dealing with God whatsoever. I separate myself from God intentionally and willingly. If I know that there is something inside, I have to get rid of it. And the Lord, as much as He's gentle and kind and accepting, He cannot live with this because He knows that this it's wrong. Worshipping in truth is offering repentance all the time, living the life of repentance, life of cleansing ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. God will never ask anyone after the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will never ask anyone, why did you sin? Sin is in our nature. But why didn't you cleanse your sin in the blood of the Lamb that is there for you? God will never ask anyone, why did you sin? But why didn't you cleanse your robe in the blood of Lamb? It's offered for you. It's there. Why do you want to keep and regard the iniquity and the sin in your heart? It's not good for you. To worship in truth is to know who you're worshiping, who you are standing in front of when you stand to pray, when you offer repentance before your prayer. That's why we pray Psalm 50. Before we pray, we stand before the throne of grace and we know that we are standing in front of the Holy One, in front of the Holy God. That's why I need to cleanse myself. That's why Isaiah, when he came to the altar, he was cleansed by this coal that was from the altar. To worship in truth is to apologize and to fix your relationship before you approach the altar and try to be united with Christ. Because it's a sin. Because when you have the lack of love and the hatred in your heart for someone, that's a willing sin. That's a sin that you regard willingly in your heart. And you know that it is a sin, but you're still keeping it and you're living with it. He said, no, don't approach the altar before you get rid of this first. worshiping in truth. Never ever mix the two, or you'll be like the Samaritans, and God doesn't accept that. Not in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, they will worship the Father. Okay, so we know the mountain is wrong, and worshiping other gods and regarding iniquity in our hearts in worshiping God is wrong. How about worshiping in the temple, in Jerusalem, in the holy place of God? What's wrong with that? Why did Jesus say, not in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, you will worship the Father? What's wrong with Jerusalem? Who was there in Jerusalem? Scribes and Pharisees? The people who were going by the book? Pharisees kept all the commandments of God and didn't break any one of them. They lived a true, righteous life. Right? They lived a righteous life. They did not sin. They didn't have the iniquity we're talking about. But they were not good either, because they were missing what? They were missing something. The Spirit. That's why he said, you want to worship the Father? You worship in Spirit and in truth. Truth without sin, but Spirit with the Holy Spirit. You worship when you have the life of God within you. We have the fire of the Holy Spirit in your prayer. There were no spirit in their worship. They were machines doing the prayers by the book, doing everything by the book, but had no spirit whatsoever. They were righteous, but they were proud at the same time. They did not sin, and they did not do anything wrong, but they didn't do anything good either. And it was read for you today. It is a sin that you know how to do good and you don't do it. Jesus said you did everything according to the law, but you missed the point. You missed mercy and truth. You missed love. You missed the Spirit of God within you. That's actually for a lot of people who come to church, who have the life of prayer, who go by the book, who fast all the fastings. But the Spirit is not there. We know that the doctor said, I cannot leave a sin within you because it's a cancer. It's going to destroy the body. How about a body that is a perfect body? And all the organs are working perfectly fine. 20/20 eyes, have all the tooth, none of them is bad. The brain is okay. And the hair, you know, didn't lose much hair. Everything is perfect in the body. It's one thing, it's just a dead body. How good that is. Doesn't have the spirit. Just the spirit. But it's a perfect body and has no cancer whatsoever. No sin. Perfect body. But dead. How good that is. That's not my words. That's the words of the Lord Jesus. When he said to one of the angels, you have a name. That you are alive, but you are dead. You look like you're alive. You have everything. You have your eyes, you have your hair. Everything is perfect. But there is no spirit. There is no the beating of God's love inside. There is no there isn't any personal relationship with God. Does everything by the book, but unfortunately missing the most important thing, which is the spirit. Like the Jews. They were righteous, but they missed the point. They missed the Lord Jesus. They even killed him. Why? Because they were missing the Spirit. See how dangerous it is? That you can get rid of God from in front of you if you are missing that Spirit. If you're missing the Spirit of God, the presence of God within you. When you focus too much on yourself and what you do and the righteous works that you do, it's a human religion. Miss the whole point that God is a person and he wants a relationship. He wants a marriage with us. He wants a unity with us. He doesn't want the machines to do the prayers and the fastings and all of this. It doesn't do him any good. He doesn't benefit from that. God doesn't do anything with our prayers and with our fastings and all these things we do doesn't benefit from it. He doesn't lack these things. But He wants the love, the personal relationship. If it's missing, then it's nonsense. And then the worship, you know, has no effect whatsoever. And it makes us hypocrites. Makes us judge everyone and anyone except ourselves. Corrupts the inside. How do I know that I'm missing the Spirit? How do I know? Because the people who don't have the Spirit, like the Jews, they were doing everything by the book. How do I know? You know what the Jews, how God like resembled them? It was a fig tree. Have so many leaves, but having no fruit. No fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. What are the fruit of the Holy Spirit according to Galatians 5:22? Love, joy, peace. All of these things has nothing to do with the worship, but is the result of God's presence in us. The fig tree is perfect. All the leaves are there and they're perfect. But it's missing the point. It's missing the fruits. How do I know that I'm missing that Spirit? When I lack these fruits. The love, the joy, the peace. Something is wrong. Something is missing. Can't be just doing all these things by the book and having no fruits. Having no spiritual, having no effect on people. When you went to that job and you stayed in it, what difference did you make amongst the people? When you stayed with these people, what fruits did you bring? When you stayed in your home, what fruits did you bring? When you served in this service, what fruits did you bring? What are the fruits? Because from the fruits, you will know the tree, if it's alive or if it's dead. And Jesus taught us that. What are the fruits? What if I'm missing the fruits? And I'm missing the Spirit. What do I do? No hope? No solution? No, there is hope. Spirit, thank God. The Spirit is something that you cannot make. And you cannot bring. You can only ask for it. Because it is the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, ask and you will receive. And if parents would give their children good gifts, the Heavenly Father would give the best gift. He would give His Spirit to you if you ask. And Jesus said that to the Samaritan woman. If you knew who is speaking to you, you would have asked and He would have given you the living water, which is the Holy Spirit. Ask. And she asked. She said, can you give me the living water? I want this so I don't come here often and fill water. She said, good. Perfect. You know what the Samaritan woman did? She didn't do anything except by she asked. He said, I own the living water. I own the Holy Spirit. And if you ask, I will give you. What did she do? She didn't do anything miraculous. She asked. She said, sir, can you give me this water? Is it that simple? Yeah. Just opening the heart to God and said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Saturate me with your Spirit. I need that Spirit. I'm missing that. But if I think that I'm righteous and I'm going by the book and I'm not missing anything, then I will miss the point. And I will never ask for the Spirit. And I think that I'm okay the way I am. Every time here we ask for mercy and we beg God for mercy. We beg for His grace. We beg for His Spirit to come and fill us, that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit, is the presence of God, is the grace of God that's giving freely for us if we would really ask. This woman asked because she was thirsty. She was thirsty for something to fill her life. She knew that there is something that's missing. And she knew that this righteous man has it. That's why she asked, sir, can you give me this water? Would you come to church today? But don't be like the Jews. Be like the Samaritan woman. Tell him, give me that living water, Lord. Don't let me leave out of here empty and thirsty. Why do I go out and search for love from everyone and all the people, and I beg for love, and I beg for acceptance? Why don't you give me that? I want to receive that from you. Don't leave the well of Jacob until you receive that. That's what she did. She spoke to him. She argued with him. She asked. And she did not leave the well until she received the gift of God. The well of Jacob is the place of your retreat. Maybe it's your room at home. Whatever it is, it's the place where you sit with God. Maybe it's the church today. It's the well of Jacob to meet the Lord and beg Him for the living water to fill your life and to fulfill your life. Lord is so generous, so gentle, so giving. And He is inviting and giving us today. And He wants to connect with us. And He wants us to be a bride and groom, but in spirit and in truth. Can't be in spirit only, because I can say, I'm spiritual, and I have relationship with God, and I'm buddy with God, and I'm talking to Him all the time. But I'm adopting sin in my heart that I don't want to let go. And I cannot practice self-righteousness without the Holy Spirit that I need. That's the balance that we want to keep. The grace and the truth together. Full of grace and truth, both together. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Whatever is missing, whatever is lacking in our life, it is the time to lay the sin at the will of Jacob and to receive the living water before we leave from here. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.